Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. You provide the questions. We do our very best to try to provide those answers. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, you can visit our website, radio.lds.org. If you'd like to email us a question, we'd love you to do that. radio@ldschurch.org. You can also reach us on our toll-free number, 1-877-MY-LDS-321. We received a couple of weeks ago an email that had a question about the difference between sanctification and justification. Last week, we spoke about sanctification. We spoke about what is sanctification and why it's important to us and its effect on us. Today, we will conclude the answer to your question by talking about justification. President Harold B. Lee said the following about justification. Quote, I want to comment about one statement. By the Spirit, ye are justified. That from Moses 6:60. Now, I've struggled with that statement, and I've found a definition that seems to indicate to me what I'm sure the Lord intended to convey. The definition that I think is significant says, justify means to pronounce free from guilt or blame or to absolve. Now, if the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is to pronounce one free from guilt or blame or to absolve, then we begin to see something of the office of the Holy Ghost that relates to the subject about which we are talking. What it means to be born of the Spirit, close quote. The words just, justification, and justice come from the same root word that refers to the action by which a person is accounted or made righteous by God. President Boyd K. Packer teaches us about justice in the April 2006 General Conference.
Alma then said, and now, my son, I perceive there is somewhat more which doth worry your mind, which ye cannot understand concerning the justice of God in the punishment of the sinner. For you do try to suppose that it is an injustice that the sinner should be consigned to a state of misery. Now behold, my son, I will explain this thing unto thee. He told Corianton about the Garden of Eden and the fall of Adam and Eve. And now you see by this that our first parents were cut off both temporally and spiritually from the presence of the Lord. And thus we see they became subjects to follow their own will. It was appointed unto man to die. He then explained why death is absolutely necessary. If it were not for the plan of redemption, laying it aside, as soon as they were dead, their souls were miserable, being cut off from the presence of the Lord. Alma taught Corianton about justice and mercy. According to justice, the plan of redemption could not be brought about only on conditions of the repentance of men. He explained that the plan of mercy could not be brought about except an atonement should be made. Therefore, God himself atoneth for the sins of the world to bring about the plan of mercy to appease the demands of justice, that God might be a perfect, just God and a merciful God also.
That's President Boyd K. Packer. The law of justice simply states that when a person breaks a law, he or she is punished. Alma identifies this punishment, or at least one aspect of it, as remorse of conscience. That from Alma 42:18. King Benjamin adds that one who breaks divine law suffers a lively sense of his own guilt, which doth cause him to shrink from the presence or spirit of the Lord. That from Mosiah 2:38. The scriptures sometimes call this spiritual withdrawal spiritual death. Fortunately, there is another divine law that goes hand in hand with the law of justice that can bring about spiritual rebirth. The Book of Mormon refers to it as the law of mercy. This law allows us to escape the punishment justice demands if a Savior will accept the punishment in our place. This person must meet two conditions. He must be willing, and he must be sinless. Furthermore, a propitiation of divine laws broken must be rendered by one who is divine. Jesus Christ met all these conditions and accepted the punishment for our sins. In some way, ultimately incomprehensible to mortals, the Son of God took upon himself the punishment for the sins of all mankind. And since his sacrifice was infinite and eternal, He's satisfied the demands of justice and mercy and can offer forgiveness to those whose sins he has borne. This offer is a gift. The scriptures often use the term grace that the Savior extends because of his great love for us. But how is this gift given and received? The scriptures are explicit. It is received by exercising faith in him who can give the gift. An angel explained to King Benjamin that Jesus Christ, quote, cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name, close quote. That from Mosiah 3, verse 9. And Paul taught that man is justified by faith in Christ. That from Romans 3, 28. Elder David A. Bednar in the October 2007 General Conference tells us that we should seek to be found guiltless.
In the Book of Mormon, we find the masterful teachings of King Benjamin concerning the mission and atonement of Jesus Christ. The simple doctrine he taught caused the congregation to fall to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, Oh, have mercy, and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth, and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. Again, in this verse, we find the twofold blessing of both forgiveness of sin, suggesting clean hands, and the transformation of our nature, signifying pure hearts. As King Benjamin concluded his instruction, he reiterated the importance of these two basic aspects of spiritual development. And now, for the sake of these things which I have spoken unto you, that is, for the sake of retaining a remission of your sins from day to day, that ye may walk guiltless before God, I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor. Our sincere desire should be to have both clean hands and a pure heart, both a remission of sins from day to day and to walk guiltless before God. Clean hands alone will not be enough when we stand before Him who is pure, and who as a lamb without blemish and without spot freely spilled his precious blood for us. Some who hear or read this message may think the spiritual progress I am describing is not attainable in their lives. We may believe these truths apply to others, but not to us. We will not attain a state of perfection in this life, but we can and should press forward with faith in Christ along the straight and narrow path and make steady progress toward our eternal destiny. The Lord's pattern for spiritual development is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Small, steady, incremental spiritual improvements are the steps the Lord would have us take. Preparing to walk guiltless before God is one of the primary purposes of mortality and the pursuit of a lifetime. It does not result from sporadic spurts of intense spiritual activity. I witness that the Savior will strengthen and assist us to make sustained, paced progress. The example in the Book of Mormon of many, exceedingly great many, in the ancient church who were pure and spotless before God is a source of encouragement and great comfort to me. I suspect those members of the ancient church were ordinary men and women just like you and me. These individuals could not look upon sin save it were with abhorrence, and they were made pure and entered into the rest of the Lord their God. And these principles and this process of spiritual progress apply to each of us equally and always.
That's Elder David A. Bednar. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A at radio.lds.org. That's our homepage. There are lots of good things on our homepage. You should check it often. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, or if you'd like to comment on this program on justification, feel free to send us an email, radio@ldschurch.org. Or you can call our toll-free number and leave us a message, 1-877-MY-LDS-321. A couple of weeks ago, we received an email that asked us the difference between sanctification and justification. Last week, we talked about sanctification. This week, we're talking about justification. The Book of Mormon often substitutes other words for justification. One of these words is guiltless. Another is blameless. These terms are usually used to identify a person or a group who have been forgiven of sins. In Mosiah, for example, King Benjamin teaches us, quote, "And now, for the sake of these things which I have spoken unto you, that is, for the sake of retaining a remission of your sins from day to day, that ye may walk guiltless before God, I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants." Close quote. That from Mosiah 4:26. Alma asks, quote, "Have ye walked keeping yourself blameless before God?" Close quote. That from Alma 5, verse 27. And Jesus promises those who repent, are baptized, and faithfully endure to the end, him will I hold guiltless before my Father. Close quote. Elder Bruce R. McConkie in the April 1956 General Conference also said the following, quote, "We believe in the law of justification. By virtue of this law, if a man walks, acts, and lives in this life in such a manner that his conduct is justified by the Spirit, he eventually will attain an inheritance in the celestial world. On the day the church was organized, April 6, 1830, the prophet, writing by way of prophecy and revelation, summarized the basic doctrines of the church. Among other things, he wrote this, 'And we know that justification through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is just and true.' That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 30. In the summary of the gospel law given in the days of Father Adam, we find this sentence, 'For by the water ye keep the commandment, by the Spirit ye are justified, and by the blood ye are sanctified.'" Close quote. Elder D. Todd Christofferson in the April 2008 General Conference says justification through Jesus Christ is just and true.
Now the Lord cautions us to take heed, since there is a possibility that man may fall from grace, even those who are sanctified. As Nephi counseled, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. You may ask, why doesn't this mighty change happen more quickly with me? You should remember that the remarkable examples of King Benjamin's people, Alma and some others in the Scripture, are just that, remarkable and not typical. For most of us, the changes are more gradual and occur over time. Being born again, unlike our physical birth, is more a process than an event. And engaging in that process is the central purpose of mortality. At the same time, let us not justify ourselves in a casual effort. Let us not be content to retain some disposition to do evil. Let us worthily partake of the sacrament each week and continue to draw upon the Holy Spirit to root out the last vestiges of impurity within us. I testify that as you continue in the path of spiritual rebirth, the atoning grace of Jesus Christ will take away your sins and the stain of those sins in you. Temptations will lose their appeal, and through Christ, you will become holy as He and our Father are holy. I know Jesus Christ as the living, resurrected Son of God. I know that justification through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is just and true. I know also that sanctification through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is just and true. to all those who love and serve God with all their mights, minds, and strength.
That's Elder D. Todd Christofferson. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. If you have questions for the Mormon Channel, we invite you to send us in your questions. You can email us at radio@ldschurch.org. You can always go to our website. Our website is radio.ldschurch.org. Or you can feel free to pick up the phone and give us a call. Our toll-free number here at the Mormon Channel is 1-877-MY-LDS-321. 1-877-MY-LDS-321. Justification is being forgiven by the Lord and set upon the path of righteousness. Justification comes through faith in Jesus Christ and through individual righteousness. Therefore, ye are justified of faith and works through grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to them only who are of the law, but to them who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Elder Bruce R. McConkie, in his book, A New Witness for the Articles of Faith, states the following about justification. Quote, among the things we know because of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and all that attended it, the revelation lists these: the very existence of the infinite God, the creation of the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are, the creation of man in the image of God, the revelation of the Holy Gospel to our first parents, the foreordained fall of Adam, the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemption of man, the plan of salvation, including faith, repentance, baptism, the receipt of the Holy Ghost, and the keeping of the commandments of God, the law of justification, and the law of sanctification. Close quote. President Ezra Taft Benson in the October 1984 General Conference teaches us of justification in the Book of Mormon.
In the 20th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord devotes several verses to summarizing the vital truths which the Book of Mormon teaches. It speaks of God, the creation of man, the fall, the atonement, the ascension of Christ into heaven, prophets, faith, repentance, baptism, the Holy Ghost, endurance, prayer, justification, and sanctification through grace and loving and serving God.
That's President Ezra Taft Benson. You're listening to the Mormon Channel at radio.lds.org. This is Q&A, the Mormon Channel's Q&A. We take your questions. We do the very best that we can to answer those questions. And if you have a question for the Mormon Channel, or maybe you'd just like to comment on this program about justification, you can send us an email, radio@ldschurch.org. That's radio@ldschurch.org. You're also welcome to call us toll-free at 1-877-MY-LDS-321. Elder D. Todd Christofferson has taught that, quote, justification and sanctification are at the center of God's gracious plan of salvation and are the essence of our witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. While justification and sanctification may be viewed as distinct topics, in reality, I believe that they are elements of a single divine process that qualifies us to live in the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ. I have organized my discussion of this doctrine into three sections based upon statements from the living Christ, the testimony of the apostles. As we commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ 2 millennia ago, we offer our testimony of the reality of his matchless life and the infinite virtue of his great atoning sacrifice. He gave his life to atone for the sins of mankind. His was a great vicarious gift in behalf of all who would ever live upon the earth. He will rule as King of Kings and reign as Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall speak in worship before him. Each of us will stand to be judged of him according to our works and the desires of our hearts. Close quote. Elder Bruce R. McConkie in the October 1979 General Conference testifies of the Savior's role in the sanctification and justification process.
There is a God in heaven, a glorious personage, a holy man, who knows all things, has all power, and is infinite and eternal. He is the Supreme Being, the Eternal Absolute, the Creator and Peopler of worlds without number. He is our Father in heaven, and He lives in the family unit. We are His spirit children. All of us dwelt in the eternal presence before the foundations of this earth were laid. We have seen His face, heard His voice, and felt His spirit. He ordained and established the laws whereby His children might advance and progress and become like Him. These laws constitute the plan of salvation. They are the gospel of God. This glorious gospel called for the creation of this earth as a place where man would come to gain a mortal body and be tried and tested as he walked by faith. It called for the fall of Adam so that temporal and spiritual death would enter the world and pass upon all men. It called for an infinite and eternal atonement, wrought by one who would be the only begotten in the flesh, which atonement would ransom men from their fallen state. The Lord Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the Father, was chosen for this high and exalted labor. He was born of Mary in time's meridian and was crucified for the sins of the world. Thus salvation is in Christ. It comes through His goodness and grace and because of His atoning sacrifice. He came to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man.
That's Elder Bruce R. McConkie. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Mormon Channel's Q&A here at radio.lds.org. If you'd like a podcast or would like to be able to download this program, please go to our website at radio.lds.org. And if you have a question or a comment about this program or any other program, feel free to send us an email, radio@ldschurch.org, or you can call our toll-free number, 1-877-MY-LDS-321. Thank you so much for listening to The Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to The Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.